not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death part you from me.
I think that's one powerful statement for Ruth to say. But it's also a tribute to Naomi and how she lived her life for God, even though she was in a foreign country. She must have had a positive relationship on her daughter-in-law, where they both loved her, but Ruth decided to come with her. And this statement right here proves and shows. Y'all come on in. Okay. Anyway, this particular saying, I think, is one of the most powerful because of the dedication that Ruth had toward her mother-in-law. She truly loved her mother-in-law to the point that she said, I'll go where you go. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God, where you lodge, I will lodge. These things are very, very powerful. Because this is a woman who, you might well say, she's a foreigner in another land. And I think it was great for her to say these things.
Right.
Yes.
Also, it tells me, totally turned her back on her own life.
Oh, yeah.
And she really stepped out in faith by going to a future that was totally unknown to her. She did not know what they would experience. She did not know how the future would play out. But it also shows all of your trust in the God that you know we serve.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the reason it's so powerful for her to make those statements.
Yeah.
Especially the one, your God is my God.
Well, you know, to go a little further, this is so important because Ruth, by her getting with Boaz, and we're going to get there, it's a lineage of Christ. And he used this woman who was not an Israelite to be a part of that. And I think it's beautiful. It also shows me that God knew he won't. He uses people for his own benefit. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Now we're going to look at a little bit about let me get over here. I think it's so important that we understand that Ruth, and I have to kind of get into a little bit, but Ruth, she meets Boaz. She had to go out and glean the field and pick up vegetables or whatever it is that she had to do. She had to come get it and bring it home. But Boaz noticed her, and he wanted to know a little more about this lady. So what he decided to do, when he found out who she was, he wanted this woman not doing a whole lot of work. He wanted her to stay with the ladies in the field. And that's what he did. He also wanted those men, don't say anything to this woman. You should treat her right. And get water if she wants water, you get it for her. He did everything. Now you can remember, he was a kinsman of Elimelech. But remember, he was not the closest relative. That's what I want to get to in a minute. It's so important that people understand the law. They had to understand the law and how this works. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of my own self, but it's important that people understand that Ruth was an individual that ended up in the mind of Boaz, and he eventually, you know, he was really interested in this woman. But I also want to make it relative to us, how we should treat, our women, how we should treat our wives, because it's so important that we as men and we as husbands do all we can to please our wife and the women that we're involved with, our mother, our sister, and all. And it's so important. Well, I'm going to get back to Ruth and Boaz. Just to give you a little bit of, and I'm going to get over here because I think it's important for you to understand. I better get somebody to get for me. We're going to stay in the genealogy a little bit about Boaz and a little bit the importance of another individual that's in the Bible, Rahab. And if anybody's done any reading, you know who Rahab was. Does anybody know who remember who Rahab was? You remember Jericho?
She was.
Okay. All right. And she did what? Yeah, that's exactly right. They went and spied the land of Jericho. She helped. She healed. And for your information, Rahab was Boaz's mother. Now some people will say that that's not the same Rahab, but not according to what I read. I'm going to stick to the book. And I'm not going to go venturing off somewhere that I didn't know. As far as I'm concerned, that Boaz, that was Rahab, that was his mother. And she had a place in Scripture. Go over to Matthew chapter 1, verse. I like to start with 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 1, verse 2 and 3.
Who begot Perez from Sarah? By Tamar Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram. Is that what you want? Matthew 1, 2 and 3.
Yeah, read 3 again.
Judah begot Perez and Sarah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron and Hezron begot Ram.
Five. Go ahead. Keep going.
Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab.
Yes.
Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse.
Okay. That's what I want.
Okay.
That's what I want. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Genealogy is so important in God's Word for people to understand exactly how important that these individuals were according to God. And it tells you all about who these individuals were. And how it, and the important place that they had in history. Yes.
It's to me, both of these women display a great amount of faith in the God that the Israelites serve.
Yes.
Because both of them really took a great risk. Ruth by not knowing what her future would bring, and I can't think of her name. That's pretty bad. Rahab, if she'd have been caught hiding these people, she'd have died right along with them. And the faith she had, she knew who these people served. She knew the power that that God had, because she heard of what all happened. They stepped out in faith that was far above what a lot of the Israelites themselves would have. And God sees that. God sees these women, and He knows that they will be in that lineage.
Oh, yes.
He really picked His women well.
Oh, yeah.
His men.
Yeah. Now, thank you. Now, Boaz was an honorable man. He had a great reputation. He was an individual who loved his employees. They respected him and they did what he asked. That's one of the things I noticed about this man. He was a rule follower. Now, he knew the law. And he wanted Ruth, but he wasn't the next of kin in lineage. Let's get a little bit of understanding here about how that worked. Because Elimelech had passed, he had maybe some others who were next in line when it came to wanting to marry. He wanted this woman, but he wasn't next in line to get her. So what Boaz did, he got a group of 10 witnesses. And it's, you know. And he decided, well, I'm not the next of kin, so I'm going to get the person who is. And he knew who it was. So he approached him and said, told him that, listen, Ruth had, Elimelech had some property. Oh, he ready to jump on that. But that wasn't the only thing that was involved. Oh, by the way, he has a daughter. Oh, well, I don't think. Whatever reason it was, he decided he didn't want to mess with that. Yes.
I think the reason he didn't want to mess with this is because the way the law works, the reason why these women would marry the next of kin, they produced a child, it would inherit what the first husband had. It wouldn't be the person that married them. They would marry in line like this to create an offspring for the one that had passed away. So it would all stay within that family. I understand that.
Well, it didn't have to stay that way, but also in this particular situation, from what I haven't read anything, even though Ruth and Orpah both were married, they didn't have any children at that time. But this man did not want that. For whatever reason, he may have already had a wife. He didn't want his second wife and the responsibility of that. So that, to me, was enough right there for him not to want to deal with it, according to Scripture. He didn't want it. So that opened the door for Boaz. And she was an honorable woman. She went and laid at the feet in the throne, the threshing floor, while he was asleep. And she did what Naomi told her. Put on some of your better clothes. And that's what she did when then and made sure that even though Boaz woke and he felt somebody at his feet, she got up and left before dawn, so people wouldn't have anything to talk about it. And she left. But isn't it wonderful to know that this man knew how to treat a woman? He knew how to treat a woman. He knew how to treat everybody he came in contact with. That's one of the things I love about the spirit. He was a kind and caring man. As I said, he was honorable. And he was a rule follower, as I said, concerning the law. And he got those 10 witnesses, which helped with the whole situation with Ruth. Now, let's see what is Luke chapter 3, verse 31. Luke chapter 3, verse
31. The son of Mila, the son of Mene, the son of Nahab, the son of Nathan, the son of David.
Yeah. This is just another part of the genealogy. And it's a part of David. All of this, of course, was before David because the Bible tells us about Ruth and Boaz married, and they produced a son, and their son's name was Obed. Obed was the grandfather of David. That's one of the things. That's a nice lineage right there. That is really what I look at as very powerful. Now, I'm going to go over to. I'm going to read a little bit more. Chapter 3. And I'm going to let somebody read the first 7 verses. There'll probably be much of that chapter before we go into chapter 4. Anyone who has that, go ahead and read the first 8 verses starting in chapter 3.
Hold on a second.
this is so important for you to understand that I just mentioned what Naomi had just told her daughter-in-law to do. You go ahead and be faithful.
Okay. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.
Mm-hmm.
And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Verse 7. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Verse 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet.
Yeah, and that's something. Remember how they did in those days. And many times they would lay right there on the threshing floor for what they did. What she did that name on the floor. And she went and laid at his feet. And it startled it. It scared him when he knew what it did that. So, That was real good. I like that part about Ruth and what happened there. We're going to get somebody else to read a little more. I think this is good chapter to read. Go ahead in verse 9 and go ahead on.
And he said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, the maidservant. Think the maidservant under your wing, for you are the most relevant. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. For you have shown no kindness at the end and at the beginning, in that you did not go after a young man, but a poor rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my time know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, that is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative, for you can go let good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning.
Okay. That's important because I just mentioned, I thought I was a little bit ahead of myself. But this tells us that Boaz was not the closest relative. He was the nearest relative. He was the one. But I'm sure Boaz, yeah, he was rich and he treated folk right. But he also wanted to make sure that this young lady was treated right. And he was going to go by. He was going to go by the law. He was going to go by the law. So she was there, and he wanted this woman for himself, but he couldn't do it the way he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it according to the law. So that's what I like about this. Read you in verse 14.
So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one to recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came with the precious oil. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not put your hand to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter of his faith.
That's another very good statement. Because Naomi kind of understood how, or what was happening here. But this woman was a virtuous woman also. She was very, and also, Boaz wanted to also protect her reputation. He didn't want her to not be seen as somebody that was not a virtuous woman. And he did a good thing of protecting her and made sure that her mother-in-law and both of them had food to eat and things of that nature. This is the kind of man that Boaz was. And I can't say this enough. Men need to know how to treat the wife. They do. Story. And I just like stories like this, and let me see where we are along Saturday. And I think I've always made much of my point. I think we're going to read a little bit more, and we're going to conclude this lesson. But I think it's important that we go down to chapter 4. And we're going to let somebody read the first 6 verses, and we'll talk about that. But, okay. Somebody get that. Chapter 4, verse 1. That's what I'm saying. See what he did. He made sure the witness was in place, and then he approached the man and said, "This is what. This is the way it is. I'm not the next of kin. You are. So if you are, you know." So I like that. Boy, if it is, they will call you to the law. Everything according to the law. You stop in verse 6. Go ahead. Let's see what I'm going to do. But we're almost finished. Let's read a few more verses, and then we'll have a short. Anybody that want to say something that's out there. Go ahead and read some more verses of this. Thank you. You see, I was told that, well, a man had to take his shoes off for example. Because then he does, he no longer wants to be a part of this. So he had to remove the sandals and go on his way. And I really like this story about Boaz, the way he took care of his business. That was important. Because this man, he made it clear. He probably had the hope that I hope this guy doesn't want this. He doesn't want this. He might want the lady, but I hope he doesn't want the woman. I'm pretty sure that he might have been hoping that. He probably wasn't sure that this guy was going to do what he did. But he did. He didn't want Ruth. He didn't want to be a part of this, of all of this that was going on. There was a desire. And he had to remove this sandal in front of witnesses. So that's what happened. I that's one of the reasons why I think this story is so important. And what Boaz did, and remembering the type of man he was. Some of us, many of us, maybe all of us can take a page out of Boaz's book because of who he was and how he treated not only his workers, how he treated Naomi, but also how he treated Ruth, who he ended up marrying. And from what I understand in this book, he was right much older than Ruth. That didn't matter.
I mean, not only does it show how boys treat the women, mm-hmm. but it showed how a woman should react to a man. You know, Ruth understood that he is the leader, you know, especially in a family situation. Not only as a master of the land that he owns, but, and I think we as women need to also learn how to respect our men. And how to follow their lead. I'm not saying be as submissive to little slave, but I knew that was but no, I think sometimes women are playing such a dominant role that it suppresses what the man should be there for. You know, I was happy to be a woman all my life and happy the way Mike led the family and the way he led me, you know. It didn't mean that we didn't discuss major things, and he would sometimes take my advice, but at the end it was always whatever he decided he wanted to do, that's what we as a family would do.
Yeah.
Showing the respect and understanding that a man's job is really a difficult one. He leads a family, spiritually, physically, you know. And I think sometimes we women with one of this liberation don't really know. I love it when a man opens the door for me. I love it when a man would give up his seat for me to sit, to be treated like a woman, but at the same time, I also respected and treated my husband according to the way he was in prison. And I think the reason why a lot of marriages fail is because people don't understand the roles that we all have within a family in our unit. No one wants to take over the other one's job. And that's where conflicts happen.
That can happen.
And Ruth just, everything that he said, she did, everything her mother-in-law did, she did, and that's why things worked out the way they did.
But you have to also understand that Naomi was, she was an Israelite. She understood the law, huh? She knew how to help guide her daughter and tell her daughter how she should act, even what she should wear in certain situations. Not to belittle her, but to make her more attractive and more respectful.
Well, and it showed Ruth was respectful, a woman that had superior knowledge of things.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
I just looked at the story, and it was just a good people. Yeah. And Ruth saw that. And she wanted to be a father because probably a good mother, a good father that raised him right. And then come back to Naomi's land and her people and look how they treat them. They were just good people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important. It's so important that we understand. You know, I look at the story, I also look at the fact that Naomi said that she really needed to come back home. But all of this was a part of God's plan for that to happen, for her to lose her husband and her two sons. And for Ruth to be a part of a mother-in-law's life. And I'm going to tell you, I know Boaz took care of him, did what he needed to do to take care of his family. And Naomi didn't have anything to do with it because he knew she had this son-in-law. And how many times have individuals married, can't get along with mother, can't get along with father, can't get along with, you know, and it's so bitter all the time, and it's just not good. This was a good example of a good godly woman that knew her place, but also respected the wishes of her daughter and her future son-in-law. So that was, yes.
I think the in-law thing is what Jesus talked about too, in her place. A lot of that conflict comes from them getting where they shouldn't be inside the marriage today.
Yeah.
Well, while you're betting, wow, basically, you come to when you marry, you choose to perform over to eat that family you left behind. You create your own. And in-laws sometimes don't want to do that, or outlaws don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, we need to know our places within the family structure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, women think that it's a weakness if they let a husband lead. It's not. Because shows the woman's strength in submitting to her husband's lead. You know what I'm saying?
The scripture tells us, sister, that we, that the man is the head of the household.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of men that don't want to leave. They won't leave it all up to for somebody else to do.
Yeah, but there's a lot of women that
want to
take that role too.
Yeah, well, it works sometimes.
And that's when you have conflict.
You have conflict, you have problems.
Some women have come from where they
That's what they're intending to go back to the point of committing yourself.
You have to, listen, let me help you out here. You got to reach me, it's time for us to get ready to leave. But I'm going to tell you, we need to stick with what God said.
Exactly.
In spite of, I know I had to raise, my mama raised four boys. Because my daddy, my daddy wasn't there. He was not doing what he was supposed to do. But that was a different situation. But according to what God said, you know, we don't want to get to this point about all of this stuff about, what is that, where you know what I'm
saying?
We want to make sure that God is in the plan and that men and the Lord's church, I'm talking about me and the Lord's church. That's the other thing. Go ahead.
I was about to say that was one of the very much true.
Thank you very much.
In this generation. But I think in your situation, you do, like you said, you do what God says. If you're married and you're in that family situation, you do what God says. If you are in a single mother situation and that's out of your control, if you don't want to do what he's supposed to do, then in that situation, you do what God is saying. Because you can't control him. Yeah.
And I'm not against anything anybody says, because you have great points.
And it's all true. Yeah. But because even like when Mike would be stationed overseas while I couldn't go on our tour, I had to be mother and father.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to be the leader then. But when Mike would come back, I had to step back and let him lead the family again, you know. Wasn't easy? No, because that was something, you do that for a year or 13 months, it's hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to relearn
to
do what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And get back in that role that you should be.
Yeah. And I'm talking, we're just talking, I know I'm way over this. No, I'm not. None of my joke. But as long as we have an understanding as to what the Lord knows. And I'm talking about from a Christian standpoint. I'm not talking about people in the world.
Yeah.
You know. Because that's just the way it should be. You know. Even in my situation, I got to make some decisions because I don't want the certain things. I want my wife protected. I'm her protector.
Exactly.
That's why that certain thing I don't want her to do. You know? And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is.
This is going to be interesting. Get that hand up there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I bet it was 99-1 in your favor.
I know you better. I tell you, thank you so much. Thank you all. Thank you all for your comments, and I appreciate it so much. All right. We made it through.